I know what it feels like to not fit. And it's not a fun feeling. But when you force parts of yourself into fitting into all these little boxes, look at the macro and ask yourself, what bigger box is God trying to make for me to just mold into, instead of me trying to slice and dice myself and to fit all these world-made boxes? That's when life gets fun. So don't limit yourself. You're not just this, just a swimmer, just a tennis player, just a podcast host, just a girlfriend, just a wife, just a boyfriend, just a husband, just a mom, just a principal, just a teacher. You're not just anything, girl. You're all of it. And if you don't feel like you fit, that's a good sign. It means you're onto something. I believe God put a specific light in your heart for a purpose, for you to shine it into this world in a way that nobody else can, a light that is unique as the print on your finger. And our job is to take that light and go love people with it in this world. Everywhere you go, you have a ministry. You don't just have to be a preacher to have a ministry. Your light is your ministry. It's how you shine it at your job, at your family, at the dinner table with your friends, at the movies, at the park, at your apartment. Everywhere you go, you are made to shine your light. Do it. Be it. Love people. Be kind. Honor them. Honor yourself. This is made to shine. What is rocking and rolling, folks? For those listening to the podcast version, they're going to be like, what was that first 11 seconds of silence into that answer podcast version, people? It was me doing a little dance move. When I get really excited for things, like a little, you know, just a little shimmy. Like, I think everybody has a food shimmy. You know what I mean? Like when you eat something, you're like, well, this is so good. I have a cold shimmy too. Like when I'm walking and I'm really cold, I'll be like, I do this little dance step. I also do a shimmy when I'm stoked about podcast conversations on My Heart to Yours Thursdays. Am I right? I'm freezing. I'm, again, like, y'all know, my space heater is a very important part of my life. I wish there was portable space heaters. I would put one in my purse. I would take it with me to church. I mean, Lord knows, it's like every preacher and pastor has to have it negative 67 degrees in there, and I don't know why, but it's so freezing. In any church that I've ever been to, I would take it with me to church. I would take it with me to grocery stores, because, you know, like, if you want to follow the guidelines of eating healthy means you stay on the perimeter of the store. That's great advice. You're also freezing and needing a parka in the middle of the summertime because you're always near the refrigerator. So I take it with me there. I should start a portable space heater company and move my sales job into selling people on why you should need that. Anyways, all that to say, I'm so excited for our conversation today. This has been on my heart for a little bit. And it's funny because when God puts stuff on your heart, I feel like he repeats himself. And for me, as I've had these made to shine conversations, I was talking to a friend the other day. I was like, and he told me, he's like, Annie, do you realize what a blessing that is? Like, to be able to talk to these people. And he didn't say it like this, but this is kind of what he meant. But like, that are so much smarter than you and have walked such a further journey than you. And you get to learn from them and ask them your stupid questions. And he didn't say it like that. But I was like, honestly, that's literally what it is. The made to shine experience for me, the greatest gift is I've gotten to learn from people that are so much smarter than me and ask them my stupid questions, like my questions that I'm like, but what does that actually mean? Right? Like, for me, I like practical. I've always liked practical. I want to know, okay, your prayer life, you talk about like hearing from God and speaking with God. How do you do that? How do you get to that? Because I think sometimes we walk around thinking that people know the answer to that, but they don't. I know there was times in my life I didn't, and everyone does it differently. So anyways, all that to say, it's been such a treat, and I want that to be a reminder to you and an encouragement to you. Like when you are doing just anything, like anything in your life that you, not just even God, but things you're passionate about, things he's called you to, like you want to ask the questions. You want to be with people that are further ahead than you. I think we live in a world like we all want to be influencers and leaders, which is great, but also know that to be a great leader, you've got to be led. And yes, being led by God is number one, but who's leading you? Like which people are physically leading you as well? You know what I mean? Like that's important too. You need someone, I've always heard it put it this way. You need someone that's a little bit further than you that you're learning from. You need someone that's in the same season as you that you're running alongside. And then you need someone that you're mentoring, like someone that's a little bit behind you that you can help teach. And all that to say, the biggest thing I've learned from Made to Shine is just the art of humility. Like there's no such thing as a stupid question. And oftentimes like these super smart people that I sometimes get intimidated to talk to, it's these more simple questions that are the hardest questions. Like what should a prayer life look like in a busy schedule? How do you talk to God when your day's really busy without it feeling transactional and like a check off your to-do list? What is the dance between if it's meant to be, it's up to me, and God has a purpose for your life that you can't mess up? Like destiny versus predestination. I mean, that's something that's been on my heart recently. Like, what's the dance? And I'm literally think whoever was my next guest, I think it's, I don't know, but I'm gonna ask her. I'm just curious, you know? Like, and all that to say, like, you gotta learn to ask the questions. So that's not what we're talking about today, but just PSA, CTA, ask the questions on your heart. There's a reason God put those questions there. And I think the biggest gift God ever gave me was when I was growing up, I just asked questions. Like I just wasn't afraid to be like asking the question everybody's thinking that maybe I'll look stupid for, but I'm going to ask anyways. And that was a muscle I had to learn to build, but, and I'm still getting better at it. I'm not perfect. There's times I'm like, oh, that might be a stupid question. I'm not going to ask it. But I say that to encourage you and myself, ask it. If you don't ask it, you will never know like why the Spirit prompted that thing to come into your head. So today, folks, let's see how I can marry that to how we're, what we're talking about today. Oh, I know how to do this. Okay, so what we're talking about today is this idea of like when you feel like you don't fit anywhere. And I think a lot of that comes down to security and where you get your confidence from. And when we think about like instances where we're afraid to ask certain questions, it's because maybe we're rooted in a place where we're not getting our confidence from God, who if we believed God was, you know, the Spirit was in us and we listened to the promptings of the Spirit, we more be more confident to ask those questions. And the reason I wanted to speak to where do I fit is because I think that's a question that a lot of us have very often, but we aren't confident enough in ourselves to one, recognize that question within ourselves and ask it, or two, once we do ask it, move in that. And understand, like, it's okay to feel like you don't fit. So to back up, the reason this has been on my heart recently and I wanted to talk about it is because I was having this conversation the other day with a friend. I was like, a lot of my life, I've struggled with where, like, what am I? What am I? And what I mean by that is, in especially Western culture, we associate a lot of our identity with what we do. You know, it's like, who are you? I'm a lawyer. I'm a doctor. I am a student. I'm a tennis player. I remember I went through so much anxiety like my senior year of high school in the recruiting process for tennis because I felt like my identity to me was tennis. I was a tennis player. That's what people knew me as. I was a good tennis player. But then it came time for school decisions. I knew I wanted to play in college, but it was like, okay, is my identity going to become I'm a D3 college tennis player? Or there was one shot I got at potentially going to a D1 school and it ended up working out. But like in my mind, I had so much anxiety about it because I was like, my identity's in tennis and I want my identity to be a D1 tennis player. Because in my mind, I was like, D3 isn't good enough, which is silly. But we wrap our identity in what we do, all that to say. And so for me, like when I was in college and my identity was a tennis player, and then I didn't make the lineup my freshman year and I started running, and when I say I started running, I was like, what's the word? Neurotically running. So I would get up and run like 12 miles a day in the morning. And so people started associating me as, yeah, Annie's on the tennis team, but she's a runner. And so that was kind of the first time I can remember being like, where do I fit? Like, I'm not one thing. I'm not one thing. But if I'm not one thing, if I'm not in this neat little box that the world like labels as understandable, then is that a bad thing? And so I started being like, okay, well, yes, I'm on the tennis team, but I identify more with running now. And then moving that into when I started my career, I've always been super entrepreneurial minded. So when I was 18, I started my first business and I started cold calling at 18 and I was building out that business and I did not want to go into corporate. Like I did not think corporate was for me because I was like, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't want someone telling me what to do. Well, lo and behold, I go into corporate because my business isn't making enough money to just survive by itself at first. But like I also had written a book and I also had just started this podcast in 2020. So here I was in corporate and I was falling in love with corporate sales, which is also what I do now. And I freaking love corporate sales. Like I just love it. But I also was a writer. I also had a podcast and I also was building a successful nutrition business. And it took me years, like years, to be comfortable with understanding you're not going to fit. Like, there's not going to be, if you're really living the life that God has for you, it's not going to fit one, your preconceived notion of how it should be, and two, the labels of the boxes the world is going to try to fit you into. Like, it is not true to say Annie is a corporate sales rep. It's a partial truth, but it's not an absolute truth. I'm also a podcaster. I'm also a writer. It's not completely true to say I'm a writer or I'm only a writer because I'm not. I'm also a corporate sales rep and I love it. You also think about like I'm also a daughter. I'm also a sister. I'm also a friend. Fitness enthusiast, a wellness enthusiast. Like, I think I get so tickled because I feel like we box ourselves into these labels we think we're supposed to have to make it understandable for other people. And that's where I really wanted to get to, was I think the reason we feel like we have to fit somewhere is because that is how we feel other people can relate to us and categorize us, which makes other people feel comfortable around us. When other people can categorize you, they know what you're about. And we associate that to mean as like a career standpoint oftentimes. That's when we feel like those people are comfortable. And for the most part, it's true. Like, I think about in middle school, I was so deathly shy. I was talking about this with my friend Kaylee the other day. In middle school, I was so shy. And it was funny because she was talking about how she used to struggle with the same thing. But then I found tennis. And I found that I was good at tennis. And she found beach volleyball. And she played in college. But like she found out she was good at beach volleyball. And that identity in a, I'm a tennis player. I'm a beach volleyball player. That is what allowed me to have the confidence to connect with people. Not because necessarily I felt like I was all that in a bag of chips, more so because I felt like I finally had the grounds to stand on for other people to categorize me, which in my mind, I believed made them more comfortable around me, which gave me the grounds to build a relationship. We all know that feeling. Like when you're with a group of people, and I think about when I was laid off from my corporate job for like 4 months, or not 4 months, for 3 months, I did not work before I found my next gig. I did this podcast. I wrote. It was wonderful. Actually, probably the best, one of the best and most transformative 3 months of my life, truly. But I think about like those months. I remember when I met people like at church gatherings, I didn't know what to say. So for the first month and a half, like it was, I just said I still worked at the last company I worked at. And then even then it was, I work in tech sales. Because I was like, wait a second, I don't know where I fit anymore because I don't have a company I'm technically with right now. And it took me, and you might be like, well, why don't you say you have a podcast? Or why don't you say you have books? It's funny. I was again talking about this with a friend the other day. I feel like that is so, there's so much ambiguity in that, that it's still uncategorizable. Like that's not a normal category people have. So I feel like there's your normal categories, like your corporate job. When you say your corporate job to people, people are like, okay, I know where to put you now. When you're an entrepreneur, people don't really know how to put that because it's a lot of it is like, it's not very common. And so if you have typical people-pleasing tendencies like me, and I feel like if I say something that's going to make you uncomfortable and not be able to categorize me, I'm not going to say it. And I've struggled with that in the past. And it's come from this fear of like, I don't know where I fit. Like, I don't know if you guys are, if this resonates at all, but I think sometimes like I used to feel like I was too entrepreneurial to be in corporate, but then I fell in love with my corporate job and I hung out with all my friends who only do entrepreneurial things. And I'm like, I like my corporate job. And so I felt too corporate to be a full-time entrepreneur. And that's when I feel like in the past couple of months, things have really shifted because I recognize the fact, like God creates new labels. He creates unique, one-of-a-kind fittings for your life. And we as humans try to put like ourselves in these neat little boxes. And I feel like God is just like, yo, that's literally not the point. I could create neat little boxes if I wanted to, but I don't want your story to look like theirs. I don't want your story to look like his or to look like hers. You know, it's like there's power behind originality, but there's also risk. Because when you step into the originality that God created you to hold, you're not going to fit anywhere. Because by nature, originality is it's never been done before. It is the OG. It is the original. It is unprecedented, which means people don't have any sort of preconceived notions as to what it is. And that oftentimes scares people. So it puts them off. It makes them uncomfortable. And so when you say things like, I want to do this, or I'm trying to do this, or people, like it confuses people. And it can oftentimes lead you feeling like, I don't know where I fit anymore. I felt this with churches for the longest time. I was like, and it's still a struggle of mine. I mean, you probably hear this, like a question I ask a lot of Jesus followers is like, okay, I trust God. Like if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm in a bad state, on my worst day, on my Annie's on the floor, she's crying or she's being a jerk. Like she is being a snooty toot jerk, a self-consumed jerk. I know God loves me. I have no doubt about it in my mind that God loves me. If God's real, he loves me. I struggle with his people. Like I struggle with, I don't know if they're going to love me after they see that side of me. And I think that to that point, like we think about the church itself, have been burned in the past by trying to be a part of groups and getting judged because, I don't know, maybe they thought because like I love social media, they judged me a certain way. Or there's been times like I've signed up for volunteer events and then I ended up not showing up. And sometimes it was not because I was busy. It was because I didn't want to do it anymore. And that might sound awful, but then it's like, well, I was like kicked out and not looked very great upon. And I was talking to someone the other day about, he worked at a church that I absolutely adore. I've never listened. Well, I've never been, but I really respect the church and the ministry and the messages. And he was like, I have a really bad taste in my mouth because of that church, because I volunteered as much as I could, but I was still a student and I was doing sports at my college. And there was some stuff I just couldn't show up to. And they really, really judged me for that. And I was like, honestly, I get that. Because sometimes I'm like, I feel too worldly to be a church girl. But then I'm also like, I feel too, like I'm too in love with God to be worldly. And so it's kind of like, well, where do you fit? Like, who are your friends? And that's where I'm such a big believer to remind people, like, everyone has a ministry. Your ministry is in all that you do. You are the church. And so whether or not you've been burned by churches in the past, like, God is with you always. Like, even if you left a church, you didn't leave God there. Like, God's still with you. And it's not necessarily like confining Jesus's love to the confines of a building, but it's in your heart. So like, absolutely have a personal relationship with God, but it's also important to have a community. And when you feel like you don't fit anywhere, it can be hard to know, like, what am I supposed to do? Especially when that doesn't line up with what we thought it was going to look like. And the reason I want to talk about this is I was doing a Bible study with my friend the other day, and we were in Mark, and we were talking about Legion. So this guy had a bunch of demons in him. And Jesus showed up to his town and the guy fell at his feet and Jesus healed him of all of these demons. Like, all of these demons came out. And in Mark 5:18-20, this is where I was like, oh my gosh, this speaks so much to that question of where do I fit? And it says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. So this dude was like, I want to be with you. Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And it made me think about my previous desire. So I wanted to be a preacher. Like, there's a picture of me. It's on my Instagram. Y'all can go look. But like, when I was a little girl, I held a wedding for my cat and dog because I was like, I'm called to be a preacher. What do preachers do? They marry people. So yeah. And I was like, I'm going to start practicing. And I was like 10 years old, marrying my cat and dog and invited our entire neighborhood. My parents did not know about it until neighbors showed up and we told them to come outside and put like rose petals all over the driveway. It was a whole thing. I was very invested in my ministry of my 10-year-old self. But it's funny because now I look at my life and I'm like, what? I wanted to be in ministry. And when I was younger, like, that's what I wanted to do. And I had this idea of how that looked. Like, okay, they marry people, they're standing behind pulpits, they're standing behind, they're standing on a stage. Like, that's how it looks. And now I think about my life. Like, what do? I sell technology. I do this Made to Shine show. I write devotionals and books, and I get to talk to young adults, and it's awesome. I'm also a friend and I'm involved. I love my church. Like, I love the middle schoolers that I get to hang out with every week. Like, I freaking love that. And it got me thinking about the cost of Jesus not working in my heart a surrender that led me to this path. Legion really wanted to go with Jesus. And I'm not going to speak for Legion. I'm going to speak for myself. If I was in Legion's shoes, one, it's like, yes, I want to be with the man that healed me. But two, I see his posse. I see his group of people. I have this idea in my head of who gets access to this man, to what I want. I have a label. I have a fitting, a box, a category for what I see people having what I want to fit into, which for Legion was being physically with Jesus. Now, Jesus knew you didn't have to be physically with Jesus to have him with the Spirit when Jesus came back from dead. Like, Jesus knew that, but Legion didn't. And so Jesus tells him no. Why did Jesus tell him no? It's kind of rude, right? Like, Jesus, hello, he wants to be with you. Isn't that a good thing? Why do you tell him to go back? But I love what it next says. It, go home to your people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. The reason you don't fit where you want to fit or where everybody who has what you think you want fits is because God knows what you ultimately want, whether you realize it or not, is relationship with him, which you will have no matter where you go. And the effectiveness of how you can bring that recognition to other people is best done in the capacity that he's designed you for. Annie Mayfield is best utilized in her ministry on this podcast and in my tech sales job. Oh, yes. Can you do ministry and tech sales? Oh, yes. I would say the best conversations I've had about Jesus are with people who don't know Jesus in my tech sales job. Because there's a lot of darkness there. Any of my corporate America friends, you know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of darkness there. And I think God was like, Annie, we have enough preachers. We have enough pastors behind pulpits. I need someone that's going to go to the places where people aren't going to church on Sunday, where people have no idea about my son, where maybe if they do, they had a horrible experience with him, or they had a horrible experience with what someone told them about Jesus being or the church being. And that's why they're not coming to church. So I need you to bring the church to them. Ooh, I like that. You see, we think doing ministry, we think fitting somewhere, it's about fitting into this category that everybody else has already proven works to do ministry in, to shine God's love in. But God's like, no, I gave you my Spirit to go anywhere. And so you take my Spirit and you go where I called you, which might be your marketing job, which might be in this season, you're a new mom and you're raising four kids. It might be raising those kids in a godly way. It might be writing a book. It might be like physically preaching in a pulpit. It could also be your tech sales job, like me. It could be anywhere. That's why I'm so passionate about this mission of Made to Shine, which is reminding every single person you have a ministry, because it's true. Like, when I'm on this podcast speaking with people who, like, literally by definition have a ministry in a church, that's ministry, but it's just as much ministry for me as when I had conversations with people about what they believed and what's on their heart and what they're going through. At my tech sales corporate America job, where about 1% of the people in that building knew Jesus, like knew him, not just knew of him, knew him. So my friend, don't get married to where you feel like you need to fit. If you don't feel like you're fitting, you're probably onto something. That's probably because God's bringing you into exactly where you're supposed to fit, which is unlike anything the world has ever seen before. Legion was so much more effective going back to his own people than if he'd stayed with Jesus. Jesus isn't saying go home because he didn't want Legion to be with him. Jesus knew when Legion went home, he would still be with him. But to shine greater light in greater areas, Legion needed to go into the place God had prepared for him, which looked different than Peter. It looked different than Paul. It looked different than James and John. It didn't fit Peter and Paul and James and John's mold. It fit Legion's mold. God has a mold for you. God has a place where you fit. But it's not going to be based off of the world's criteria for fitting. And when you come to peace with that, that's when your life becomes exciting. And that's when your life becomes light. I used to feel like I would never talk about my entrepreneurial life with anybody that I knew corporate-wise. And not just not talk about it, I would freak out about it. Like I would like proactively any higher, like I would block them on my Instagram, not because I had stuff to hide, but I was like, I don't want them thinking that I'm not willing to give up my every single waking hour and moment for this corporate job, which is silly because one, you shouldn't do that. But two, I was someone like I'm always been very organized. So like I do my corporate job. I do what's expected. I go above and beyond. I do my best. But then I do all this on my own time outside of it. And it's good. It makes me better at my corporate job. But I would never talk about it in corporate. And when I was with my entrepreneurial friends at conferences, I would never talk about my corporate career. And I always looked at it as like they're two separate things. But now what I'm recognizing is no, there's a fitting here of all of it. That makes me all of me. And it's a fitting that maybe my entrepreneurial friends won't understand and my full-time corporate friends won't understand, but God put it on me. And you have things in your life. You're like, I have a little bit of that. I have a little bit of that. It's like Subway buffet. You know what I mean? We're not all like turkey sandwiches. We all got a little bit of something. We're all our custom Subway sandwiches. That came to mind because I saw Travis Kelsey is like the new spokesperson for Subway. So Subway just came to mind. But like we're all our own unique buffet of fittings. And so don't try to be a club sandwich when you're just like a meatball sub. You know what I mean? That was a really deep way to end this podcast. Be your meatball sub self. In all seriousness though, like truly, I know what it feels like to not fit, and it's not a fun feeling. But when you force parts of yourself into fitting into all these little boxes, look at the macro and ask yourself, what bigger box is God trying to make for me to just mold into instead of me trying to slice and dice myself and to fit all these world-made boxes? That's when life gets fun, man. It's true. I don't know why I said fun, man, because most of the demographic is women. It's when it gets fun, girlfriend. That's when it gets fun. I want you to have fun with your life and the calling God has put on it because it's fun. It's fun. I am a badass tech sales corporate executive. I'm also someone who loves a good podcast conversation about Jesus and writing devotionals and working with my middle schoolers and hanging out with my friends. You know, I'm all of it. And you are too. So don't limit yourself. You're not just this. Just a swimmer, just a tennis player, just a podcast host, just a girlfriend, just a wife, just a boyfriend, just a husband, just a mom, just a principal, just a teacher. You're not just anything, girl. You're all of it. And if you don't feel like you fit, that's a good sign. It means you're onto something. That's your indicator. You got to look at the broader scale. Where is God trying to make you recognize you're never going to fit a worldly mold, but he has something better for you and it encompasses it all and it won't feel like a forced experience. I'm sending you love. Beautiful friend, I hope that this episode blessed you and brought a smile to your day. Hey, if we're not already hanging out on social media, go find me on Instagram. I'm typically living in my stories over there. Or join my weekly email fam. You can find the links for that on my Instagram as well. You guys, I hope you were reminded from this episode today that you are a light and you are called to go shine it in all spaces that you hold. And if you love this podcast, I would so appreciate if you shared it with anyone that came to your heart. And or a review would help me so much. Love you guys. Go shine your light. See you next week.